This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, kindle within us the fire of your transforming love. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and souls and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. Please be seated. So there is this word glory that we use every once in a while in our vocabulary, but I don't think we give it too much thought, right? It means resplendent, beauty, magnificent. We might say tonight, whoever's team you're for, that they were in their glory as they held up the Super Bowl trophy. You might say they were restoring the old building back to its former glory. She stood there in all her glory as she received the award for excellence in education. And then, of course, in church, or in prayers, we say, glory be to thee, O Lord. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Glory. When Moses went up on the mountaintop to receive the Ten Commandments, he saw God face to face, the scripture tells us, and he saw the glory of God, and it was so bright that his face changed and became bright. So much so that the disciples couldn't even look at him, so he veiled it. He saw the glory of God. In our gospel today, James and John and Peter had been invited by Jesus to go up on the mountaintop to pray. And while Jesus was praying, they must have been peeking because they looked out, and Jesus' face began to change, and his clothes became dazzling white. And if that wasn't enough, time kind of morphed also, because they see two people that had lived hundreds and hundreds of years before that, the heroes of the Jewish community, Moses, who had lived 1,200 years before on one side, and Elijah, who had lived 900 years before on the other side. And they were amazed, and they were terrified. And then Peter, wanting to savor the moment, said, well, I'll build a tent for each one of you so that we can just hang out here and never have to come down from the mountaintop. And in that moment, a cloud covered all of them. And the voice said, this is my son. This is the chosen one. Listen to him. And then they would have to go down from that mountaintop. I think all of us have had surreal experiences, whether we know it or not. And I have talked to many of you about different experiences that you've had. And one in particular that was shared with me just this week by a close friend said that she was at a time in her life when she was just becoming aware of who she really was in her spiritual self. And that she knew she was going to have to let go of some things in her life. And she was feeling pain, and she was crying, and she was alone at home, and so she began to pray. She began to meditate. And she told me that all at once, she felt like a warm blanket around her, like a hug. And she knew that it was Jesus. And this is not someone that talks about Jesus as a rule. She felt it. She knew it in her bones. The glory of God. I was in an auditorium many, many years ago out in Missouri, and I was listening to a poet, James Dillett Freeman, some of you might know of him, and he was reading a poem that he had written called I Am There. And it's a poem about the presence of Jesus being with us no matter what. I've read it in sermons here before. And it was the first time I had really heard it, and I was sitting there, and as I was watching him, his face began to change. I thought that I was losing it because I kept staring at his face, and then everything around him was as if it was just out of focus. You know that feel? I don't know if you've ever had that feeling, but everything was just kind of out of focus, but I was riveted to what he was talking about and what he was saying. It was a moment that I'll never forget, and I swear to you, I was not doing drugs. I had eaten that day. I had gotten plenty of sleep. It was just a moment in the glory of God. If you feel that you have never experienced the glory of God, I beg to differ with you, because how about this? Feeling the glory of transformative moments in our lives. If we are noticing the realization that we love or that we are loved, the moment we know that we really do believe, the realization that we know at long last what we are called to do and to be in this world, the gratitude for the compassion shown to us in deep tragedy or illness. This is glory. And the moment when we finally return from that long night of grieving or illness. Or how about if you're privileged enough to be with somebody when they're taking their last breaths and peacefully leave this world, and you're able to be there and hold their hand. That's the glory of God. Maybe we've known something close to glory upon accomplishing some big effort, like a graduation or a new move or a new relationship. Or maybe you've worked hard and hard and hard and can finally retire. The glory of God can be present if we are aware that God is in it. And finally, the glory that we feel upon seeing a newborn baby. Maybe someone else's, a friend or a family member, or maybe we've even witnessed that birth and tears come. It's that moment on the mountaintop. Now, if you are wondering then, what about when we're down from the mountain? What about the glory of God then? Well, I would like to challenge you to be experiencing the glory of God in risking being vulnerable. And by that I mean to be authentic with what you are actually feeling and to be able to share that with whoever you are with in that moment, if it's appropriate and if it's helpful. And to help you understand exactly what I mean by this, I found it in a poem that was sent to me by my son Andrew's girlfriend, and it's called The Invitation. And I would say, I would add to that title, the invitation to change from glory into glory. I find it really powerful. The invitation, it's by a woman named Araya. It doesn't interest me what you do for a living. I want to know what you ache for, and if you dare to dream of meeting your heart's longing. It doesn't interest me how old you are. I want to know if you will risk looking like a fool for love, for your dream, for the adventure of being alive. It doesn't interest me what planets are squaring your moon. I want to know if you have touched the center of your sorrow, if you have been opened by life's betrayals, or have become shriveled and closed from fear of further pain. I want to know if you can sit with pain, mine or your own, without moving to hide it or fade it or fix it. I want to know if you can be with joy, mine or your own, if you can dance with wildness and let the ecstasy fill you to the tips of your fingers and toes without cautioning us to be careful, to be realistic, to remember the limitations of being human. I want to know if you can see beauty, even when it is not pretty every day, and if you can source your own life from its presence. I want to know if you can live with failure, yours and mine, and still stand at the edge of the lake and shout to the sliver of the full moon, yes. It doesn't interest me to know where you live or how much money you have. I want to know if you can get up after a night of grief and despair, weary and bruised to the bone, and do what needs to be done to feed the children. It doesn't interest me who you know or how you came to be here. I want to know if you will stand in the center of the fire with me and not shrink back. It doesn't interest me where or what or with whom you have studied. I want to know what sustains you from the inside when all else fails. I want to know if you can be alone with yourself And if you truly like the company, you keep in the empty moments. When Jesus was walking down that mountain with the disciples, they were on that journey together that we are called to. This Wednesday, we begin the season we know as Lent, 40 days and 40 nights, with the opportunity to really take a look at what's important. There's a 50-second video that I'd like to show you that really depicts not a time as used to be in way ages past, and maybe in some churches, but not this one, that it's a time of self-flagellation and, you know, depriving yourself, but the opposite of giving up maybe whatever is not of God and then embracing what is. Let's watch this clip.
2,000 years ago, the Son of God issued an invitation. Repent and believe the good news.
This Ash Wednesday, the Episcopal Church invites you to join with millions of Christians throughout the world as we respond to Jesus' invitation.
Repentance doesn't mean beating ourselves up,
making ourselves miserable,
or being overwhelmed by shame.
Repentance means turning from things pulling us toward death so that we can turn toward Jesus,
whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine.
We hope you will join us on Ash Wednesday
as together we accept Jesus' invitation to repent and believe the good news.
The Episcopal Church welcomes you.
And we really do. We can be proud to be part of a church that welcomes you as you are, in the moment, no matter what. As we walk together, and we proclaim what Jesus said was the summary of everything. To love God, love your neighbor as yourself, and change the world. Amen.